So there have been 8 known lynchings, said Amaria Rose Davis, assistant professor of history at Penn State University, or as many as 14, according to different historical societies. It's hard to get an accurate number, she said, because most people think of lynchings only as involving a rope and a tree.
Hmm.
But lynching is actually categorized as relating to mob violence.
Okay.
So if you're kidnapped and then beaten to death, if you're shot or killed in any way by a mob, those fall into a lynching count.
I would say that's a lynching too, but I understand why they find that to be a challenge in terms of the records.
Yes. So some lynchings are not recorded, and so it's hard to trace them.
Mm.
So... today we're going to talk about an unfortunate lynching that happened in Pennsylvania, because I thought that it was safe in the North, kind of like on Game of Thrones, and I was wrong.
Oh.
Like with Game of Thrones.
Oh.
And, you know, we know that there's still racism everywhere. So this is just an example of how there was nowhere that was fucking safe. So we're going to talk about that today.
Okay.
Hi, it's me, Michael.
I'm Marcus.
And they'll kill you in PA. Okay. Oh, look how cute Cooper's being.
Oh, he's rolling around on the floor.
Oh, he's been there a lot lately. Part of me thinks that maybe he just needs brushed a little bit more, but...
He probably never doesn't need brushed.
Yeah, he's big and fluffy. Anyway, so hi guys, welcome back. We're still in the middle of the pandemic and everything. So I hope everybody's doing okay.
Mm-hmm.
So I found this article by Matt Ryman at timeline.com about the forgotten lynching of Zachariah Walker. And I'm pretty much just going to read it to you, and we're going to talk about it as I read it to you.
Okay.
Because I read it, and I was like, I can't rewrite that and tell it better, or can, like, I feel like everything's pretty important. It's not too long. It's not too short. It's
sure.
So I'm just going to read it. That's what I'm going to do, because that's what you guys pay me for.
Okay. Right. You know? Exactly. You're just doing your job.
I'm just doing my job, guys. Okay. So, Zachariah Walker screamed before the mob threw him into the fire.
Oh, my God.
Walker, a black iron worker from the South, was already bloodied from a recent surgery that removed a bullet from his jaw and was agonized
from
his jaw.
Oh.
And was agonized by the experience of being dragged hundreds of feet from his hospital bed to a field where a fire had been built by a white mob.
God.
For God's sakes, give a man a chance, Walker yelled. It didn't matter if they threw him in anyway.
Is that like a pyre? Is that a pyre? That kind of fire?
I don't know. I think a pyre would be more respectful.
Well, like a pyre is like a fire used to burn a body, right? A funeral pyre.
I guess it's a pyre, but in a different way.
Yeah. Just wondering.
Yeah. I feel like most funeral pyres are built pre-death or post-death.
Yeah, I would think so.
This one was not.
Except in Midsommar, I think they...
that was a fucked up movie. I want to watch that again, too.
Yeah, it was so long and kind of...
It was long.
Boring.
It was boring, but it was really pretty to watch. Anyway,
yeah, it was.
Sorry.
Yes. Sorry.
So the lynching of Zachariah Walker happened in the bustling steel town of Coatesville, Pennsylvania, on the night of August 13th, 1911.
Okay.
So Coatesville is near Philadelphia.
Ah, all right.
It's like west of Philadelphia. So at the time, Coatesville was enjoying newfound prosperity. The steel mills were booming.
Steel mills.
Oh, damn it. Leave me alone. Leave me alone.
What could be more appropriate than to say it that way?
Steel mills. That's exactly why I said
exactly
it that way.
What they were.
God damn it. Ugh. Fuck. Anyway, those things were booming. And to meet growing production demands, they needed workers. So there was, you know, people were going there to work.
Kind of workers they need?
Steel mill workers. So for most part, this need was filled by European immigrants and blacks from the South.
Okay.
So Walker, he was a lever puller, pulled the level. God damn it. Pulled the lever.
Is a lever puller? That a was lever his job, puller. Is to pull a lever?
For the Wirth Brothers Steel Company.
Okay.
He left his wife and children behind in Virginia for this new position. He settled into a town of shacks on a bluff overlooking Coatesville proper, where he lived alongside other black and immigrant laborers.
Okay.
So it seemed like everybody that worked in these steel mills were all being taken advantage of and et cetera.
And they were living in a ghetto, it sounds like.
They're living in, yeah. I prefer to call it Shantytown.
Yeah.
And whenever I call it Shantytown in my head, I sing the Dolly Parton song, Shantytown.
How does that one go?
I don't really know.
Shantytown. Shanty town.
It's like a more Shanty town.
Going on down to Shanty town.
Yeah, that's what it is. Going on down to Shanty town. Something about chicken is something cents a pound. Go on down to Shanty town. Shanty town.
Yeah. It's like an old bluegrass kind of song, like that. Like a auction caller.
Yeah.
Gotta speed sing it.
So, the new influx of workers signified to Coatesville a growing prosperity. But it also conflicted with a perceived loss of social and communal harmony, right? Because there were a bunch of people coming in from the outside.
Okay.
So it was
and they were different.
Yeah. So the borough of 11,000 people fixated on its demographic shifts. An 87% native white population decreased to 73% in a decade.
87 to 73?
Yeah. Okay. That scared the white people.
All right. That doesn't... I guess that...
And in increasing instances of crime, gambling, drunkenness, concealed firearms, and fighting disrupted residents.
Okay.
You got a bunch of steel mill workers. You know, they're all randy.
Randy?
I imagine they were, you know, younger fellas.
Yeah, probably. I'm sure that... Oh. not you.
Oh my. Sorry. I wonder if everybody could hear that. Siri just said, I don't know how to respond to that. Yeah, me either. That was a really weird laugh either. I also had.
Yeah, so the racial mix was changing. Although it didn't change like hugely, it's not like a huge difference.
Yeah. But it was enough that in 1911 the white people were nervous.
That's interesting. I always wonder what is like ultimately behind those things when people start getting hateful and they have a weird idea dividing, and I feel like economics is always an important part of it.
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Well, and the other thing was that, you know, I think that all of the laborers that were working at the steel mills, God, I have to focus really hard on saying that correctly. They weren't getting paid enough, so they were being paid at a wage that was keeping them in poverty.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right, they're kind of being exploited.
So it was kind of like a, not a self-fulfilling prophecy, but the like almost, it was fulfilling the white people's expectations of what black people would be, I guess.
Right. And so they're like a self-segregating secondary class in this case, because they're outsiders, they're paid less, and so they're living in the same area.
And they, you know, these people probably had learned some racist things, and it just probably reconfirmed that stuff. Anyway.
I'm sure somebody was around to teach them racist things. There's always somebody willing to speak up.
Uh-huh.
You know, and when things get bad, when society gets, when times are tough, you know, that's when the hate people start coming in. They're like, well, we have to blame all of this on somebody. Let's blame it on them. Those people. You know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever we choose this time.
Leave it to the Nazis.
Typically, it's been the black people in the U.S. It's always been the black people in the U.S.
Yeah, most of the time. Some, you know, there's been anti-Semitic stuff as well, right. But yes. I think it's mostly towards black people.
Mm, yeah.
So residents of Coatesville grew especially weary of pay weekends when relieved mill workers became intoxicated revelers.
Revelers?
Yeah. These workers blew off steam in even less savory ways, clogging up Main Street and stressing the town's six-man police force.
Oh, those six guys were stressed, huh?
Yeah. So it just seems like the town wasn't set up for success in general to have a new steel mill in town and not have adequate housing, adequate
policing,
adequate anything. Like, they don't have enough of a town for all these people. So resources are probably more scarce.
Yeah.
I swear I can speak proper English. I'm getting worse at it, though. The older I get, the worse I'm getting at English. It's getting harder. I'm not getting any better at any other languages.
I think in modern times, we would say that they would also need a lot of social workers and people that could deal with poverty and deal with homelessness and deal with economic disparity, you know. Although we currently use the cops for all that shit, we know that doesn't work.
Yeah. They're getting an influx of new people that are from, you know, the immigrants overseas and people from the South everybody's coming from different places.
Right.
So it seems like everybody needs to kind of get newly acquainted with just what other people are.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah, that's it. Just
people, it's really hard for people to get used to somebody else being different.
Yeah. For some reason, even though, I mean, fundamentally we behave in similar ways and want similar things and want to help each other. And
maybe it's because of rule rigidity, like my therapist said. Like, we made these rules and people from different cultures break those rules that we make up.
Mm.
And so they're bad because they make up these. Yeah. That sounds right.
I think also there is always an element of humanity that wishes to exploit power by directing hate toward a certain group.
Yes.
That is a tactic that gets used routinely.
Yeah. Ugh. Nothing new. Any fucking way. On Saturday, August 12th, a somewhat drunken Zachariah Walker was crossing a bridge on the way home when he saw two Polish workers. Walker, confessing he was feeling pretty good, that's a quote, decided on a wicked idea of a prank. So this was a terrible idea before I go forward.
Okay. But whatever, it's what he did.
That's what happened. So he took out his revolver and fired two shots over their heads, and they ran away in terror.
Yeah, I would too.
I would also run away in terror.
Run away in terror.
I got shot one time. And
you got shot?
Yeah, that's all it takes. It's just once. I was in college, and I was in my friend's. She lived off campus in a apartment complex thing. Wynwood Court at Penn State Altoona, and we were going into her apartment, and she was yelling at these guys that were down the hall, and then a barrel of a gun came out of their door, and I got shot. Yeah,
where?
It was a BB gun, thank God.
Okay.
But I didn't fucking know that until it hit my book bag and pinged off of the little piece of plastic that.
Oh, thank God for that JanSport buckle.
Oh, it wasn't even JanSport. That's the fancy stuff. This was something I think my dad got for free from mailing in enough beer cans or something.
You actually had to mail cans?
Yeah. Or something on them. I don't know. Maybe just scan them or take a picture. Whatever. But yeah, I didn't know until it bounced off me. Then it was
oh my God.
That was more scary than it should have been.
Saved by the Natty Light logo.
Yeah.
Wow, that's a harrowing story.
Yeah, but I survived. I made it. That was freshman year.
Yes. Although, anyway, somebody pulls out a revolver and fires it into my general direction. I'm
going to run.
Run.
Yeah.
Run for cover.
Yes, exactly. Okay, so back to the story.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the story. Ready? We're in it. No, we're in it now. So Edgar Rice was working security for the mill that night when he heard the gunshots. So he was beloved in Coatesville, apparently, this security guard guy. So he was a portly man. He was known for his compassionate patrolling, often escorting drunk workers home rather than arresting them or having them arrested.
Oh, okay.
So he was like a nice guy. He was a big, nice guy, it seemed like.
Big, nice guy.
Is what it sounded like.
All right.
I was not there. I can neither confirm nor deny the niceness.
Yeah, well, we're buying into your version of the story. That's all that's...
And I'm buying into this guy's version of the story.
That's fine.
I hope this Matt guy doesn't lead us astray.
Oh, let's see what happens.
So Rice confronted drunken Zachariah Walker, who would later recall getting a little sassy.
Sassy?
Yeah, Walker said he got a little sassy. So eventually, Rice grew tired of the hassle and told him, if you don't come with me, I'll hit you over the head with this club. So the mill worker had a club. So there was a tussle, and then a panic ensued. Walker soon believed the fight was escalating to lethal ends. Rice, the security guard, took out his revolver, as did Zachariah,
okay,
who shot the officer two or three times and then fled.
Oh, my God.
In a few hours... Edgar Rice was dead.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
Yeah.
Man's dead.
Yeah. So it just...
escalated into a murder.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Escalated into a murder. So, you know, it's really unfortunate and really sad.
Yeah. It's really sad.
It gets worse.
Oh, God.
So, yes. Of course, we all know that Edgar Rice should not have been killed.
Right.
It definitely seems like Zachariah was drunk. He admits that he was being sassy, but I think police need trained better, maybe.
Yes.
But also this, I mean, you need to be able to handle people who are drunk. I mean, like, if that's, or people, even people who are mentally disabled or handicapped, people who are not there.
Mm-hmm.
As a police officer, they get a lot of those calls. We've been watching that show. I forget what it's called. It's on that thing, on that app.
Right.
And, you know, they're not trained for it.
Yeah.
And so they interact with it all the time.
Definitely, we ask them to do a lot of stuff that is outside law enforcement.
Yeah.
Because when you have a problem like that and you call a law enforcement officer, they only have certain methods of dealing with situations. One of them is killing the people, another is arresting the people, and those often are not what you want to happen.
Yeah, because that's not really what people need. Anyway, so Walker went on the run, which, yeah, I can definitely imagine he would have run because he killed this guy.
Mm-hmm.
Though no one saw the incident unfold, the two Polish guys provided a link to him.
Okay.
So nobody saw him do it. They were like, he shot a gun at us.
Right.
Around that area.
Right. So they...
Seems treason, does it not, sisters, dear?
Possibly.
I'm going to find the children, brew the potion.
Not really an eyewitness. It's just a...
Right.
Circumstantial evidence around. Sort of thing, yeah.
So search parties looked all through the night, and the next morning, a boy on his way to collect eggs saw Walker in his barn.
Okay.
One time there were bank robbers in our field.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and we thought that, well, my mom was like, they might be in our barn.
Right.
Yeah. Everybody got a gun except me.
What were you going to do? Go in the barn and find him and shoot him?
No, I think we were just waiting for them to not come and kill us.
Oh, I see.
We were playing defense.
I see.
But I was also with people who just were looking for any reason to use a gun on people.
Right. Well, got them. You know, you had the
so they all guns. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They're just looking for an opportunity to use them.
Right.
Police shouldn't be looking for an opportunity to use guns.
No.
And it seems like they are a little bit too much.
Yes.
They're like, I get this cool gun, and I'm going to take it out every opportunity I get. Put it away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't.
I think maybe you should have to also present your penis every time you take out your gun, and I think cops would do it a lot less.
Why?
Shame. Why? You know.
Why?
We're going to use shame to our advantage here. Just you Why can't hire any shameful? Cops with big dicks. I don't know.
Oh.
Because, you know, maybe they're overcompensating, but they're, you know, I have my gun and my big truck and my tiny dick.
Oh, you
know,
I see.
That kind of thing. So maybe if you pair them to, you know, I don't know. I'm not a psychologist professionally at the moment, but it's just an idea. Just throwing it around, just freeballing it.
Well, I mean, I understand the idea of hypermasculinity as a result of some actual perception of reduced masculinity. And I don't know how often it really has to do with the size of somebody's actual penis.
Right.
Or just some other sense about themselves as being
well,
less
they,
masculine.
I mean, they wouldn't, I doubt they would take their guns out as often if they had to pull their penises out when they took their guns out.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. Just an idea. Just an idea. I think a European country might be ready for this experiment more than us.
That's a good idea. Yeah.
But somebody should try it.
Yeah.
Just to give it a go.
Like Liechtenstein.
Yeah. And you may not even ever see any penises if you're lucky. You
right.
know, the cops might do find other ways to resolve crimes and problems.
Other than the penis out shooting.
Other than the penis gun shooting stuff, you know. I'm just saying, I think I'm onto something here, and somebody should really hatch that egg.
We've done a full investigation. And
someone should
it
bubble
was
it up.
A justified use of his penis and deadly force.
Yeah. His penis also was presented.
You got to file.
Did he present his penis at the time of the pulling?
Got to file penis presentation firework. Paperwork. File the paperwork.
There's like a zipper guard. I don't know. Anyway, okay, back to the story. We're back in the story.
Okay, back in it.
Hold on, let me take my kombucha. Kombucha. This episode is brought to you
by
kombucha.
We're all supposed to hold on while you drink that. We're just supposed to go wait while Michael drinks some kombucha.
Yes, please. I appreciate it. There. Now I'll be able to better present this story.
Okay.
So, two men were notified that Walker was in the barn, and they confronted him. They were unarmed, and Walker struck one down with a blow.
Uh-huh.
He hit him.
Got it.
Down.
Right.
He took his revolver out and pressed it to the chest, pulling the trigger of the other guy.
Okay.
And it jammed.
Oh, my God. He was going to kill him.
Going to kill him. And so he ran. So the sheriff's posse finally found Walker in the woods. You never want to hear that phrase, a sheriff's posse found anything.
Right.
I don't want a sheriff to have a posse.
Yeah.
I want him to have a respectable team.
Oh,
of
okay.
people, I guess. Not a posse.
Right.
You know, I had a posse in high school.
You did?
Or was I a posse in high school?
A posse?
Anyway, so they found him, like I said, in the woods, and he was hiding in a cherry tree.
Okay.
So this, it's already, like, fucked up. It just gets worse from here on out. We ready?
Yeah.
Grab your dick. Hang on to your dick, everybody.
Oh, hang on to your Dweeney Cooper.
Oh, we're going to need him soon, but we don't need him right at this moment.
All right.
Also, if I burp a little bit, I'm sorry. The kombucha is just so bubbly. Okay, so the posse searchers pointed their guns at Walker, who, knowing his fate, decided to end his life himself. So he raised his own revolver to his temple and fired.
Okay.
And he missed.
Yeah.
The bullet going from his ear to his jaw.
Oh, my gosh.
And he fell out of the tree. So his suicide attempt failed. He was injured and unconscious, but alive at the bottom of this tree where this mob waited.
He just shot a big hole in his own face.
Yeah.
Okay. And the mob is down at the bottom of the tree. He fell out of the tree?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what's next?
Where's Cooper?
Oh. Cooper!
So,
there he
hi,
is.
Hi, buddy. We need you. Okay. So Walker was brought to jail first.
Uh-huh.
And the crowd who gathered outside was told the menace had died in an effort to get them to disperse.
The menace had died.
That's what they said. The menace has died. So with Walker in custody, the police chief and other high-ranking officials collected his confession. The chief of police would later convey the confession to the public, claiming Walker was proud of what he'd done, admitting that he claimed he acted in self-defense. So,
wow.
Yeah. It seems, you know, I'm sure it makes sense later after I tell you the rest of this, why the police officer was like, no, he said he was proud of it. Even though it seems that's not what he said.
Okay.
I don't think he said he was proud of it.
All right.
It seemed like he said it was self-defense. Anyway. So Walker was then brought to the hospital to remove the bullet from his face. So they didn't first take him to the hospital. They took him to the police station first and then to the hospital. So to keep him from attempting suicide or an escape, his right ankle is handcuffed to the iron frame bed. And he was placed... there's thunder outside right now. Not in the story. Maybe there was. I don't know. Anyway, so he was placed in a canvas straitjacket and buckled to the four corners of the bed.
Oh, my gosh.
So he's completely restrained. His ankle is shackled to the bed. He's in a straitjacket, hole in his face.
Wound in his head.
So meanwhile, a crowd of teenagers and young men gathered on Main Street.
Oh.
Two of the scariest groups of people.
Never good.
Teenagers and young men. Count me out. They're scary. Two officials who recently left the hospital told them that with only one person on duty, it would be easy to abduct Walker.
Oh.
So after a while talking and gathering, the crowd was provoked by the rumor that an ambulance would soon carry Walker to the hospital in Westchester, as well as the teenager's speech, which reiterated the meager resistance awaiting them.
The meager resistance.
Yeah. I don't know what that really means.
It means nobody's going to stop them.
Right. Sorry, I just got like really sidetracked. That looks different than usual. And
our tracks are backward.
Oh.
Doesn't matter.
Spooky. But, yeah. Okay. So galvanized by a thirst for revenge, as many as 2,000 people marched shoulder to shoulder along Main Street to the hospital. After small opposition from the officer camped inside the Coatesville Hospital, the mob broke in. Many wore rags or handkerchiefs to cover their faces, which would later impede witness testimony.
Mm.
Mobsters grabbed Walker, soon finding him fastened to the bed. They needed a way around the handcuffs, and they beat him and undid his straitjacket, eventually resolving to detach the iron footboard from the bed because they couldn't get... the handcuffs off.
Okay.
So they dragged him away through the hospital corridor onto the porch that sat below and like awning with columns. So a mob of hundreds cheered, yelling, shoot him, kill him, hang him. Mm. Isn't this fucking insane?
Yeah, it is.
Just went right into a hospital and dragged him out to where there was a mob waiting.
Yep, nobody stopped
him. In Pennsylvania.
Him. Right.
In 1911.
Yeah.
So the crowd resolved to burn him. That's what they decided. So they dragged the maimed and beaten Walker down a dirt road to a field. I killed Rice in self-defense, Walker yelled. Don't give me no quick to death because I'm not white. So nevertheless, he was thrown into the fire.
Jesus Christ.
So this, you're going to need to grab Cooper. Just cuddle for this next bit. So, like I said, they threw him in the fire. Nevertheless, it seared his flesh and with it charred his escape from the pyre. The crowd, stunned at his resilience, beat him with rails from a broken fence and thrust him back in, adding fuel to box him in as he burned.
Oh, my God.
So he was like trying to get out. He like escaped one time and they pushed him back in. Yet Walker escaped a second time.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. The crowd met this new effort with sadistic joy as a coda of a long night of a criminal's suffering. They beat him with rails again as his burnt flesh hung from his body, the scent of which made the air grow arsid.
Acrid.
Acrid.
That's disgusting.
Two men held a rope on both sides around his neck and pitched him into the fire one last time. Walker's screams were heard over half a mile away. The crowd huddled around him in the firelight until Zachariah Walker left behind a charred figure that was no longer him.
Oh, my God.
What the fuck?
Mob justice.
That's like, oh, my God. It's unimaginable.
Mm-hmm.
And terrifying. I can't imagine how terrifying it would be to have, like, I think it, you know, I guess whenever I'm afraid of getting attacked, it's by like one people or like maybe a couple people, never like a whole town's worth of people.
Then you kind of assume the cops will protect you.
Yeah. Well, I don't assume that.
Okay.
But some people assume.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, what the fuck? So the article continues. As was common with lynchings, members of the mob descended on the scene to collect souvenirs, including the handcuffs. One boy was said to have kept a finger in his pants pocket for 6 weeks.
Oh my God.
Paperboy sold souvenirs along with news of the murder. The next day, Walker's gruesome remains were photographed in a wooden shoebox, filling not even halfway. So said Edgar Rice's widow, a mother of four who stayed away from the scene at the insistence of those consoling her. I wanted to apply the match. I wanted to see him burn.
Wow.
15 people were indicted for their role in the lynching, including two police officers.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. There were only six police officers in this town, mm-hmm. and two of them were indicted for a role in it. That's not, like, I'm not great at, that's the third of your department.
Yeah.
That was caught.
Right. Those were not guys that should be cops in the first place.
And that feels like that hasn't changed.
That has not changed. We're still doing that.
Even at those numbers, one third, like, that's still a third too many racist people in the police department.
Yeah, absolutely.
The story and ensuing trial became national news. At the time, the sheer fact of an American lynching was not unusual. Indeed, the very same day Walker was lynched, a man named John Lee was burned and hanged in the town of Durant, Oklahoma.
Wow.
But Walker's death happened in the north. In the end, Coatesville residents stayed mum, and all 15 were acquitted.
Wow.
Walker would become the eighth and final person lynched in Pennsylvania.
What?
That we know of.
I mean, how would they be acquitted? I mean, I don't even understand.
Two of them were police officers, and they were all masked and had, you know, things over their faces or whatever. So.
And probably little interest in actually applying justice.
Yeah. So, even former President Theodore Roosevelt was stunned, writing an editorial in the Outlook describing the lynching as revolting to the last degree and a horrible wrong for which the whole country must bear the responsibility.
Hmm.
The NAACP sent William Sinclair, one of the organization's founders and a former slave, to quietly sit in on the trials and send reports back to the offices in New York. The association's magazine, The Crisis, wrote that the Coatesville horror is the subject of wide comment in more whole-souled denunciation than has often greeted outrages against the Negroes.
Yeah.
I hate saying that. Sorry, that was a direct quote.
Right, from the NAACP.
Yes. The piece quoted a series of strong editorials, many of which argue that North and South did not matter. The violent scene in that Pennsylvania field was a national extremity of community crime and a broadly national shame. On the first anniversary of the lynching, the writer John J. Chapman held a prayer memorial. No more than half a dozen people showed up, perhaps a few, as two people were there to remember him. But a speech was later serialized in places ranging from Coatesville Records to Harper's Weekly. So, he was quoted as saying, "I understand that an attempt to prosecute the chief criminals has been made and has entirely failed because the whole community and, in a sense, our whole people are really involved in the guilt. A nation cannot practice a course of inhumane crime for 300 years and then suddenly throw off the effects of it."
Well, I suppose the second tragedy of all that is that it has not changed in any significant way since then.
Over 100 years.
Yeah.
Black boys are still being lynched today.
Mm-hmm.
I think I've heard of five in the last, like, 6 weeks.
Even during all of the Black Lives Matters protests and even during actual city councils defunding and abolishing police departments, and it's still happening. And
I think
if that's
making...
the evidence that it, if that's not the evidence of it as a real existent problem for the white supremacists who wish to pretend that it isn't, I don't know what other evidence there could be.
Yeah, I don't. I kind of expected more hateful white people to be coming out as the Black Lives movement improved and gained more traction, to see more of that, like, kind of bubbling up to, and then, like, go away, mm-hmm. I guess.
Yeah.
Like pus from a wound.
Right.
Got to get it out. I don't know. It's hard. They're not going anywhere. Why aren't they going anywhere?
Yeah, I don't know. I think that's, and that's something I've talked to many of my friends and my mom about lately, is like, we're beginning to realize that there are just a lot of people that just don't want anything to be better. They want things to be worse. They are selfish. They're only interested in themselves.
But they'll disguise it.
And they're liars. They're liars.
Even to themselves, I think, you know.
And they're full of hate. They're self-absorbed, angry liars. And there's a ton of them. And, you know, they fit into certain various categories. And, like, we have to figure out a way to get around them. That's the next thing for our society.
Yeah.
I don't know if we can ever bring them into the herd. We have to figure out a way to use them for some way to achieve progress for the rest of us.
Yeah. That's kind of how I've been feeling about a lot of that recently, is, like, some people I don't feel like I can change their minds, and what do we do with them? Those
mm-hmm.
people
mm-hmm.
because I don't think I, like, there are some people who I'm like, I don't think I can change their mind no matter what I say, because they believe in this fictitious thing so much that nothing I say, it's like a religion to them. Nothing I say can change what they believe is the truth. So what do we do with that? How do we work around that? And like you said, am I mansplaining it back to you?
Yeah, but that's all right. It's okay. Nice to hear it in a different way. Yeah. I think we've got to do something to get around those people. I mean, that's my realistic viewpoint. But, you know, that's the way, it's not the way we tend to work as a society. Like, for instance, with global warming.
Right.
We are not approaching the problem we know it's not going to go away. We're not approaching the problem as, how do we cope with it and benefit from it if there's some way.
Right.
We haven't looked at it that way. We're still obsessed with.
Well, I think because we still have the people that are blocked that are saying that it's not there. And, well, I guess what you're saying is that we need to bypass those people in that space too, and be like, okay, well, even if you don't believe it, we still need to do things to figure out how to work with this event that's happening.
Yes. And so same with the rest of us that understand that racism is a systemic problem in the U.S. presently.
Yes.
Those of us who understand that as the reality need to figure out a way to move on, to move everything on despite those other people.
Yeah, leave them behind and move forward.
Leave them behind.
Somehow. We gotta.
We don't need them
around
anymore.
There are some people that, we can't, I think, you know, we can't try to change those people's minds. We have to say, okay, that's fine. We're still changing things anyway. You don't have to agree with us, and you don't have to see it our way, but we're still changing.
The train's leaving, folks.
Yeah.
There is an end result. It is inevitable.
Yes.
It is reality.
Uh-huh.
You can fight it as much as you wish. All you're going to do is make things worse. It's not going to change where we get, which is equality.
Right.
Which, it would be nice. You get on the train. There's like a snack car. It's air conditioned. It'll be a lot nicer if you're on the train.
Yeah.
Than if you just whine and cry and try to
throw tantrums. Act like an asshole.
Yes.
You're just acting like an asshole. Don't be an asshole. Don't be an asshole. Thank you for listening.
Thanks.
Go visit our website at theyllkillyoumpa.com at theyllkillyoumpa.com, or you can email us at theyllkillyoumpa@gmail.com. That's theyllkillyoumpa@gmail.com. Stay safe and avoid COVID, because that is also still happening.
Yes, despite your political beliefs. Another thing that is also still
despite
happening.
Despite the anti-maskers.
What the fuck with all these idiots?
There's still COVID.
These are the same idiots too.
And it's still getting worse. So, you know, fuck it. Fuck it all.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. We got to these idiots are idiots in a variety of spaces. Everything. They're not just one kind of idiot. They're the idiots that fuck all these things up.
This is why we can't have nice things.
Well, and in our society, you know, where we generally believe in protecting minorities that, you know, would have less voice.
Right.
We want people to be equal.
Right.
All men are created equal. I'm just saying that's part of the idea.
I don't know why that bothers some people.
But I'm going to say something. I don't think those people are equal. Yeah.
Well, they're certainly choosing to not be equal. And if they want to not be equal, that's fine. But we're going to progress past them.
Yes.
You don't want to be equal? That's fine. We're going to look at you like you're that thing then.
Yeah, I'm tired of it being like this Pollyanna. Oh, well, it's just I'm from a different era, or she's from a different era, or it's just different, or it's just taking me some time to get.
That makes me want to rip people's head off and throw it into a field.
I also hate that I'm listening right now. I'm listening. That's the other thing all the white people want to say is they're listening. What are you listening to? There does not need to be more told to you.
I guess the people that don't realize that what racism is and how they're systemic racism, I guess those are the people that, but those are the people that I'm also like, I'm listening equals thoughts and prayers.
That's what I'm saying. It's the thoughts and prayers bullshit.
Yeah.
It's the, I'm listening is thoughts and prayers.
Yeah. That's what I feel.
Not good
too.
Enough. It's the same as doing nothing.
Just active. You can actively listen and support. You know, we've gone and supported actively and actively listen to other people give speeches. We don't need to give the speeches. We don't need to, you know, this is our way of sharing.
Well, we're speechifying right now.
Yes. But Casey and Laura are paying us.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah. Thank you, guys. If you guys want to pay us, you can go to our Patreon page, which is at thekillingpa.com. Fuck racism and fuck COVID.
Mm-hmm.
Stay safe.
Bye.
Bye.
Perfect pitch, Cooper. That was perfect.